Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. The topic of discussion tonight is breast cancer. Breast cancer is something that affects all of us and all of our lives, and pretty much no matter who you are, all of us know somebody with breast cancer or a friend of a friend suffering from breast cancer. So I'm excited to tell you a young lady that I've against cancer. If anyone is friends with Donna on Facebook, then you certainly know basically the fight against breast cancer is pretty much her passion. It is her life, and that is what she talks about, and that was one thing about Donna that struck me, which is why I really wanted to connect with her and get her on At Home with Victoria, because I'm, a lot of out there and folks that follow me are very supportive of breast cancer, as well as the fight against breast cancer. So let's go ahead and get Donna on the line so that we can start this conversation with her. Hi, Donna, are you with us?
I'm here.
Well, thank you for being here. Finally, it seems like it's been forever since we've been trying to get this thing together.
I appreciate you having me on the show so much. You don't know how much this means to me that you've asked me to talk about breast cancer, which is my passion. And it's all
absolutely.
I talk about, people that know me.
I know it is. I know it is, which again is one reason why I'm thrilled and excited to have you here, because when someone like yourself is very passionate about something, then that certainly means in my mind that the things will certainly get done about it. Donna, you are a 3-year breast cancer survivor in October. Tell us a little bit about that and how you were diagnosed and all that.
Okay, I'd be happy to. If you could see me right now, I might not look like someone who's had breast cancer, but I was diagnosed on October 17, 2007, about 3 years ago, with stage 2, almost stage 3, 3 lymph nodes positive, when my kids were 13 and 3, and my husband was serving on his second tour in Iraq. I had lobular breast cancer, which is 5 to 10% of all breast cancers, and it doesn't show up as a lump, but as a thickness, and usually not on a mammogram, and mine didn't. And lobular breast cancer is harder to detect in younger women, women with dense breasts, and women who are pregnant or breastfeeding. And my OBGYN, I was never a sick, I was never sick. The only doctor I ever visited never mentioned this type of breast cancer to me, nor had I ever heard about it. So when my doctor said those 3 words to me, you have cancer, I was sure he had me mixed up with somebody else. And I was floored because I never felt a lump, and I had just stopped breastfeeding my son. And plus, nobody in my family had ever had any type of cancer, and I didn't have any of the typical risk factors associated with breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to educate myself pretty fast. I didn't even – at the time, only knew one person who had had breast cancer, and it's a pretty scary thing to hear. And so that's how it started. The passion that I developed came during the cancer treatment itself, because you go through such horrific things when you go through cancer treatment. When I was first diagnosed, they thought that I was in early stage, but and they did not think that it was in my lymph nodes, which did not show up in an MRI. And so I had a lumpectomy first, and didn't have a clear margin. It was in 3 lymph nodes, which at the time meant that I had to do chemo, which I did not anticipate. And then I had the option of another lumpectomy or a mastectomy, and I just wanted, thought of any cancer in my body whatsoever, I just wanted to go ahead with the mastectomy. So that's the route that I took. And then the chemo, which I think
let
chemo.
Me ask you,
go ahead.
Let me just jump in there and ask you just a quick question, because one thing that I am struck about, and having the opportunity of 16 years to be a television journalist and interview many, many women that have breast cancer that's suffering from it, and also that are survivors. And one thing that's always kind of at least I find that most women will talk about this kind of standard is that they didn't really even know or have any type of risk factors that they could possibly even get cancer. And I just find that so interesting with most of the women that I talked to. And in fact, I thought about it because you had, you know, said the same thing. You didn't have the sort of quote-unquote traditional risk factors for breast cancer.
Well, that's, I think that I caught mine later than I should have because I was of the thought that I did not have any breast cancer in my family. I didn't smoke. I didn't drink regularly. I was a runner. I ate organic, no preservative. You know, my lifestyle didn't contribute to what my thought process of what, you know, caused breast cancer. So I think that according to the statistics is about 70% of breast cancers have absolutely no family history. And I think that what women need to realize is that their number one risk factor is that they are a woman. And one out of seven women.
I think that message right there as to what you just said really needs to get out, because most of the time, I think most women, at least a lot again that I've spoken to, you know, we're basically bombarded with information about risk factors, if, you know, if your mother had it, this and that. But I like what you just said, the mere fact that you're a woman, you know, you should basically, you're at risk anyway. But I think that message really needs to get out there.
I think that's very important, and that's why I decided to get involved with Tiger Lily. The Tiger Lily Foundation, which is an organization that supports young women under 40 before, during, and after breast cancer. But what's significant about Tiger Lily is they promote being your own advocate and doing self-breast mm-hmm. exams and good breast health. And what shocks me about women in general, most women don't think about breast cancer until when they turn 40, when they have their first mammogram. And if you really start talking
right.
to women, you will find that they have not been doing their monthly self-breast exams. It's a detailed three-part series of what you should be doing, and most women don't know how to do it right. And when they go in for their annual exam, their doctor will say to them, are you doing your self-breast exam? And they'll just say yes. But then if you really get a woman to tell you the truth, they're not. And so they really don't start thinking about it. Right. And so they've spent their whole life in this mode. And then it's very important, you know, once they turn 40 when they're doing the mammograms, that they don't understand a lot about breast cancer. I think.
Well, and you know what, too? I'm sitting here thinking that, you know, even, you know, myself, who, I mean, I halfway consider myself to be intelligent and have a master's degree and all of that stuff, but even someone like me, Donna, you know, there's these sort of mixed messages out there when it comes to breast cancer, you know, when you should have a mammogram versus when you shouldn't have one. And I just think in general, women are just a little confused, because I can't think of when it was, but I think it was like maybe 6 or 7 months ago when, remember,
yes.
there were some new regulations that came out about women shouldn't be tested until, I can't remember what age it was, but it had basically pushed the
well,
age till
50.
Much further.
And they did
yeah.
retract that. And the American Cancer Society, which is another organization that I'm involved with through their advocacy program, they stand by that women should do self-breast exams after they start their period, and they should begin their mammograms at age 40. And that organization actually retracted that statement because it was so misunderstood. It's true
yeah.
that the majority of women that do get breast cancer are over age 50. I think statistically it's 7% under age 40, and these are according to the National Cancer Institute. But women under 40, that 7%, they get a more aggressive type of breast cancer. Breast cancer, the younger it is, the stronger it is. And then women between
yeah.
40 and 49, it's like 1 in 69. That's still pretty high.
Yes,
so,
it
you
is.
Know, it's true that mine wasn't caught on a mammogram because I had lobbed a little bit. 85% of breast cancer is ductal, and ductal is a traditional lump, and it is caught with a mammogram. And all those women between 40 and 49, if they weren't doing their self-breast exams and they weren't getting their mammograms, the chances of it being caught, and that's the best early, is when it's most treatable. Because I look at cancer like a fungus. You catch it early, you
right.
can stop it. You catch it late, it's very difficult to stop. So we want to get
difficult.
We want to get cancer when it's stage zero, stage one. Until we have a cure, that's the only thing that we have is things in place where people can catch cancer early. Because half of all men and one out of three women do get cancer now. That's a reality. People don't want to hear
right.
that. They don't want to talk about
yeah,
it.
But it's true.
And I've heard that it's even the number one fear of Americans. But you know, like, I talk about this all the time. I have a one-track mind, and people will say to me, well, that's so depressing. No, it's not depressing to me. It's empowering to me. Because the way we're going to stop cancer is through educating people about being their own advocates, catching it early, because we don't have a cure. There is no cure. There's 200 different types of cancers. There's no cures.
Mm-hmm.
And most cancers do have the opportunity for reoccurrence, like breast cancer. You're never cured. If you get it under age 50, the chances of it coming back in your lifetime are very high.
Mm-hmm.
And so after... After this happened to me, I couldn't go back to my old life because I wasn't the same person
right.
anymore. And
exactly. Things. I'm sure, you know, after something like that, your entire life just completely changes.
Exactly. And, you know, I'm not the kind of person that's into feeling sorry for myself, but it's easy to in a situation like this. So I decided I was going to pull myself up by my bra straps and I started looking at the hard post-cancer me, and I always believe that God puts people and things in your way, and you can either go around them or you can face them, and breast cancer has been that, like that for me. And I remembered attending a sermon in a church, and the pastor said that God asked people to do things, and you can say no, and you might even be a second or third choice because others have said no, but if you say yes, the most amazing things will happen to you. And that's when I began to put it all together. And I had some 20 years of marketing and PR experience, and I began to think, how could I use it to fight cancer? So I stopped anguishing over why mommy, and I believe that I got cancer for a reason, which is to be an advocate in a war that is killing people, human beings. And at the time, I had no idea where it would take me, but I decided right then that I was going to spend the rest of my life stopping cancer. And I looked for...
Isn't that amazing how, you know... all of us in our everyday lives, we go through our everyday lives thinking that, you know, this is who we are, this is what we're supposed to be, this is what's expected of us. And then, you know, all of a sudden, you know, bam, you get a diagnosis that you have breast cancer, and every single thing that you thought before just instantly within a flash changes, and now you're sort of on this new path, you know, to educate women and to get the word out there. And I just think that's important and that's special because, you know, it may be something, Donna, that you may never know in your lifetime, but I follow you very closely on Facebook, and, you know, I'm a stalker of you, I must admit. I do follow every single thing that you do and you post. But I was thinking one day, it was some posting that you had said about breast cancer. I think it was some statistics or something. And I remember sitting there thinking, wow, you know, this is somebody who really is making a difference. And then I started thinking, she probably has no clue the amount of women lives that she's impacting just by, you know, posting information. So I was saying that to say is that, you know, I'm sorry, of course, we're sorry that this happened to you, but, you know, the flip side to that is that you've become this incredible advocate for the fight against breast cancer, and you probably just helped just hundreds and hundreds of women and probably don't even know it. So in that sense, you know, it's a good life change, I guess.
Well, you know, when I was in chemo, I started going to a breast cancer support group. And I think those are important. I think that when you've been diagnosed with breast cancer, you need to find people who are like you because it's very hard to understand if you haven't had breast cancer. And, you know, you go around the table and you tell your story. And the lady who was leading the group, she was a 10-year inflammatory breast cancer survivor, which at the time that she was diagnosed, you just didn't survive it. She had survived it. And she is very active and in a similar way than I am. And she said, and this is very, very difficult to say, she said that I am okay, I'm happy that I got breast cancer. And I thought she must have lost her mind.
Right.
And it took a long time for me to understand what she meant by that. And mm-hmm. I have finally reached a point to where, and what she did mean is that she has been able to help so many people. Because if she had never had breast cancer, she would have never been sitting there talking to me. And so I have to say, you know, there are days that I feel that I get down and I say, well, you know, I wish this didn't happen to me. But then I say to myself, I have met the most amazing people, people that I would consider heroes that have fought cancer, who have not survived it, and people who are still fighting it, people who have beat it, and those people would not have been in my life. I would have never changed the path that I was on if this hadn't happened to me.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's still tough,
absolutely.
And it's hard, but the thing is that, like I said, I believe that things happen for a reason, and I feel honored to know and be able to do the things that I've been involved with the last
let me ask you a quick question, because we do have questions inside the chat room
The
conversation is going on. And hi to Michael and everybody that took the time this Friday evening to visit us, because I'm sure a lot of people could be out at the movies or doing what you're doing, but you guys are with us, and I do appreciate that, and I'm sure as well as Donna does. Michael wanted to know inside the chat room, he wanted to know if you could focus a little bit more on your treatment. You know, how was that process for you in terms of where you went? How long was the treatment? If you want to talk about that. If not, then we certainly understand.
Well, sure. No, it's so funny. When you're first diagnosed, I didn't want to tell anybody. I didn't tell anybody for 6 weeks, and it's a bad choice, okay? I know some people are private, but I knew that I had to talk about it. And even, you know, telling people that I've had a mastectomy, for example, I decided I would tell people because I thought that was important. I was diagnosed, I had visited my OBGYN, and then they had sent me for, he noted, I want to explain that I had a dimple on the side of my breast. It's about 3 o'clock, and a lot of lobular breast cancers will show up in that place about 3 o'clock on the side of the breast. And I had a thickness, but I had just stopped breastfeeding my son. But the doctor was concerned enough because I had a dimple, because about 99% of the time a dimple means cancer. And so he had sent me for a comprehensive mammogram, and it didn't show up. And then I did an ultrasound, and even the technician couldn't find it, but the radiologist finally did. My OBGYN sent me to a surgeon that he had a relationship with, because I was very much of the frame of mind that I wanted to see someone immediately, and so he got me in the next day to see a surgeon. And is the person asking directly, like, want to know exactly where I went? Because I went to a lot of different places. I didn't stay with one cancer group. I know that I might have done it differently if I was, you know, what I know now. But I went to Mount Vernon Hospital for my surgery, and then I went to the Cancer Center at Lake Manassas for my chemo because I wanted to be close to home. Like I said, I did a lumpectomy, and there were no clear margins, and it was in 3 lymph nodes, even though it didn't show up in the MRI. That was a big shock for my doctor, because when I was put under for the lumpectomy, he said, don't worry, it's not in your lymph nodes, but it was. It was the day before Thanksgiving that year, and he came back and said, you know, this is what we have, we can try for another lumpectomy. And I'm like, no, I didn't even let him finish my sentence. I said, I want a mastectomy, and I want it immediately. So he got me in that Monday. I had the mastectomy, and then the day, 2 days after Christmas, I started four months of chemo every other week. I did the,
wow.
Yeah, it's tough stuff. Let me tell you, chemo is worse than cancer in my opinion.
I've heard people say that. I have heard people say that that the chemo and just treating it is actually far worse than the cancer itself. I've heard many people.
It's tough. And I have to tell you that women that have not gone through menopause yet, chemo can be very tough. Because chemo does put you into menopause, and even though you're in chemo, you're having menopausal symptoms. Because my cancer was estrogen positive, which means that estrogen fed my fed my cancer. I had the drugs I had were Adriamycin and Cytoxan. I had four treatments of that, and then I had four treatments of Taxol, which was very traditional 3 years ago. They haven't changed some of that since then. Those drugs are very tough. One of them can cause heart damage. I was very lucky. I did not have heart damage. But I have a friend in my breast cancer support group that it now needs a heart transplant, which is a really hard thing to take. Yeah. So after, for me, I could not eat during my chemo. So I went down to 80 pounds. I of course, I was bald. That was a bit, and I had beautiful long blonde hair, straight. It was my thing, and And it was I went actually. My husband went with me, and we had it cut into a short kind of boy haircut. And then when I had my first chemo, I went, and after that they said it's going to fall out in 2 weeks. So I went and got a buzz cut, which was very like an army buzz cut. And then sure enough, in 2 weeks it fell out. And so then I shaved my head. So I was bald, and that was a big.
I'm sure you were still absolutely, absolutely beautiful. I want to move the conversation along, Donna, just a little bit, because I know you've got a few things that you want to make sure that we get into this 30 minutes as we talk. Now, I know that you talked a little bit about the Tiger Lily Foundation, and I'm also a member of Tiger Lily. Absolutely love our CEO and founder, but tell me how what you do for Tiger Lily. You're vice president of foundation, and we've got a couple of events coming up. Is that correct?
We do. I became the vice president of the Tiger Lily Foundation in February, and I was thrilled to be a part of MAMA's vision to stop breast cancer. I believe that God put MAMA in my way. I really believed, and after meeting with her just one time, I believed in her vision because of her focus on teaching young women how to do self-breast exams and breast, what good breast health is, because I don't think that that's something that was done before. It definitely was not something that I experienced, you know, as I was growing up. And because, like I said, that is the way we're going to stop breast cancer is for, until we have find a cure, is to find it early. The Tiger Lily Foundation, it basically provides services for women under 40 before, during, and after breast cancer. We do have two events that are coming up in the fall. One is our Masquerade Ball, which is on Wednesday, September 29th, and it is at the Willard in D.C. And we would love, it's a Masquerade Ball this year, and it was amazing last year. Victoria, did you go? I don't know if you were, were you at the Masquerade Ball?
Actually, no, I didn't get a chance to go to that one because I had not connected with you guys at that point. So the Masquerade Ball is going to be my my first time.
It's going to be an amazing event. I actually attended last year and spoke on behalf of ACS-CAN because the American Cancer Society had just endorsed a bill that MAMA had been a part of, the Early Act, with Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who wrote the Early Act, which is now attached to the new health care reform bill. And so I actually had a chance to attend last year. The other event that which you are going to be our mistress of ceremonies, and we're so excited to have you, is going to be our, it is our Tiger Lily Foundation congressional reception and Women's Health Day on the Hill. It will be the first Women's Health Day on the Hill. It is going to be on October 6th, and it is from 5 to 8, and it is in the Rayburn Building, which is one of the three houses that are on the Hill. And We'll be having Dr. Willie, who is from Georgetown University Breast Center, speaking. She's renowned in breast cancer surgery. And we also are partnering with the Ovarian Cancer Alliance and FORCE, which is in Facing Our Risk Empowered, Be Bright Pink, and we've key members of Congress, as well as survivors and representatives from all various different ethnic communities, Latino, Jewish, Hispanic, African, African-American. So we're bringing everyone together, anybody who is involved in breast cancer, including other breast cancer organizations, together in one evening to have a night of what I would call shotgun speeches, where people come up and they talk one after another, and we share everything that there is to know about breast cancer. The focus is going to be on young women, women under 40, and the importance of them being their own advocate. And it's going to be an amazing evening. And
yeah, I'm looking forward to it. In fact, I have to now that I get the opportunity to speak to you in person, I was absolutely so thrilled. And really, really, Donna, it's such an honor that two of you asked me to see the program. You know, in television news for 16 years, I get to MC a lot of events. You know, some people are famous, some are not, some local famous people, some are just, you know, regular programs. And but this one, I have to say, by far, very, very much touched my heart. So I am super excited about it and looking forward to it. And it kind of caught me off guard because I wasn't expecting, you know, you guys to ask me to MC. But when the invitation came, I completely freaked out. I was so happy, and I was yelling around the house.
Oh, yeah, well, your ears didn't burn? Because we were talking about you for a while, thinking, okay, will she say yes? So
are
we actually talked about about it for a while, and we thought, okay. And then we said, okay, let's ask her, and hopefully she's available. But we just, obviously, we follow you, and we just thought that you were a great match for this event because of your position in the community and your passion for caring about others. And I also follow your Facebook page. I can tell that you are interested in, but you've been a supporter of Tiger Lily, and so
yes.
It's going to be wonderful to have you at the event, and we appreciate it.
Well,
very
I'm looking forward to it, Donna. We've got only a few more minutes. I always tell people time goes by so fast on the show, but I don't want you to leave without talking about Kill the Beast. So tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. Well, I also work with ACS-CAN, which is the advocacy affiliate of the American Cancer Society, and I have formed an LLC called Kill the Beast, which is, the idea behind it is to empower people with cancer to fight, not be a victim. And so we're doing an event next Thursday night at the Midtown Loft in D.C. It is from 5 to 10, and the beneficiary is going to be ACS-CAN. The idea of Kill the Beast was inspired by a little boy in my neighborhood who had neuroblastoma. And by the way, this is Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. And he thought that if he was tough enough that he could beat cancer. And he called cancer the beast. And so ever since I heard that, I've used the term Kill the Beast. And so we're going to have our first Kill the Beast Happy Hour next Thursday. It's going to benefit ACS-CAN. And ACS-CAN actually lobbies on the Hill for a cancer issue.
Well, I'm actually think that at first I didn't think that I was not going to be able to make that event, so I think I'll have the opportunity to see you there next week because I'm trying to change my schedule around so that I can come out and support that event and be a part of it. And just to let everyone know, for those of you that are listening, I know Donna talked about a lot of events that Tiger Lily has coming up as well as her Kill the Beast, but all of that information you can find it right here on my Blog Talk Radio site. So don't worry if you don't have a pen or pencil that you can't run and write that down. Also, if you're friends with me on Facebook, I'm always posting that information on my wall. Donna is also on Facebook. Donna, will you be taking friend requests on Facebook? Can folks get in touch with you if they're interested?
Definitely. I use my Facebook for my advocacy. My personal and, I guess, professional life are intertwined now, so definitely.
Mm-hmm. And pronounce your last name for me, because I was going to say it, but I've learned in television news I hate to butcher people's names. So pronounce your last name and spell it so people can send their friend request out to you if they're interested.
Okay, it's Donna. It's Gwen, G-U-I-N-N, and then it's Kaufman, K-A-U-F-M-A-N.
All right, so there you guys have it. So, Donna, thank you so much for your time. I know we actually crammed a lot of information in there, but I'm actually going to invite you and Maima back about a few days before we have the Master Ray Ball so that we can focus on that and talk a lot more about that and also continue to get ticket sales out there for that. So I hope that you will join me, and I'll give you the information when I set that show day up. I just thought it would be a good idea, you know, just to do a show specifically on that. It's one of our really big fundraisers of the year.
Well, we would love that, and I'm sure Mame is listening right now, and she would is thrilled to hear that. We really, really appreciate you supporting us, and it means a lot to people with cancer.
Well, thank you so much. I would not have it any other way. So until you're back on the air with me, many blessings and love. And, again, I do hope to see you next week at the fundraiser, Kill the Beast.
That's right. Okay. Thank you so much, and have
thank
a wonderful
evening.
Thank you
so much,
evening.
Donna. Bye-bye.
Okay. All right.
And again, everyone, that was Donna Kaufman who was joining us here on At Home with Victoria. I know that was a lot that she talked about, and it's difficult because it's hard to sometimes try to squeeze a lot of information in at one time. But just to give you a quick recap, Donna Kaufman is a 3-year breast cancer survivor that will be a breast cancer survivor in October. Find her on Facebook. In fact, I'm friends with her on Facebook, so if you go to my wall, all of her information is already there. So make sure that you add her as a result of the show. Because also what's cool about Donna is that you'll have the opportunity to keep up with a lot of the events that go on in D.C. through Kill the Beast as well as the Tiger Lily Foundation, which she is a vice president of Tiger Lily. So Tiger Lily has the congressional event that's coming up in October that I'm going to be a part of an MC. Plus they have the Masquerade Ball, and that's at the end of September. So we'll definitely keep everybody abreast to that and also for ticket information. But joining me right now for the last 15 minutes of the show is my partner in crime, Michael. Hi, Michael.
Hey, darling. How are you?
Was Donna not just wonderful?
Oh, you know what? Seriously, I mean, I've had relatives, my mother, my aunt, my cousin, all go through that too, and truly, truly tragic. You know, there's nothing happy about it, but the determination of will and spirit is what will always drive. So you just have to hold on to that. It's a true test. But anyway,
yeah,
congratulations
sure.
on becoming a mistress of ceremonies there.
Yes, and you heard me and Donna talk about it. I was very, very excited. You know, I get invited to so many things and invited to MC a lot of programs. And not that everyone's program is not special, because it is, but this one was really, really special to me because I do a lot to support Tiger Lily and the founder and I are best friends. So, you know, for her to ask me that, because she has access to, my goodness, so many famous people and local and national, that she asked me was very cool. Plus, it's so cool because it's going to be a congressional event on Capitol Hill, so that's really cool.
Wow, that's fantastic. And you know what? The most famous people are the ones that have gone through it. You know what I mean?
Definitely right. So let's talk a little bit about what happened yesterday. We had this big show that we did, a special event on Hurricane Earl and talking with Linda and Charlie. Tell me about some of the feedback that you got from us during the show.
Actually, I received over 34 individual emails of how everybody enjoyed the show, how everybody enjoyed Linda and Charlie. Charlie really made a big hit with everybody, but talked to Linda this afternoon, and actually watched one of Colin's shows on the other network, and Linda's good. She was tired. She was going to sleep all day. She was up all night, but they didn't sustain any significant damage, and actually, Cape Hatteras, which I thought was going to be really smashed, received, you know, fallen awnings. I posted a little video on my page this day, but it luckily just kind of didn't do as much as I thought it would, thank God, or that it's intended to. It's heading up into Cape Cod, Nantucket right now, and it's going to be hitting Nova Scotia, Canada, but it's downgraded to level one. And the winds have gone from 140 to down to about 89 miles an hour for sustainability. So it is certainly taking its toll. And I just think, this is my theory. I think because of the prayers of last night, that's what moved that stupid little hurricane.
I think you're right. I didn't even think about that. I like that, Michael. I absolutely think you're right, because we had a whole lot of folks praying last night for Linda and Charlie, just everybody, that lives in that part of the country. I like that, Michael.
That's nice. Power to the people. You know, seriously, we can move things. Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. And listen, we've got to acknowledge our friend Tony Foster is back inside the chat room, and she's listening to the show. So, Tony, she's back. I just wanted to kind of recap a quick second if you're not sure what we were talking about. Last night at 9 o'clock, Michael and I did a special 50-minute show on Hurricane Earl because Linda and Charlie, fans of At Home with Victoria, were supposed to be right in the direct path of Earl. And it was great. Both of them were on the air with us live for almost an hour yesterday, basically giving a sort of play-by-play as to what was going on down there. But as Michael just said, that God was good because it didn't do anything to the area except for some little winds and that sort of stuff. So all of them seemed to be okay. So, Michael, let's talk quickly about
Shapeware. I'm going to talk about Shapeware. How did that go?
So,
I still haven't listened to that show. Did you happen to pass along my man girdle information to the listeners?
No, I didn't have time to pass along your man girdle information, and I'm glad that I didn't because now we can talk about it now. So before we get into that, let me just let everybody know. So Hush Boutique, for the next 2 weeks, she's got this Panther, this fabulous discount going on. So here's the deal, ladies. If you spend $100 or more, she will take $25 off of your order. And the coupon code for that is FALL2010. FALL should be all caps, F-A-L-L, 2010. Again, if you spend $100 or more, then you will get $25 off of that order. Also, Michael, which is cool, you're not going to get $25 off $100 or more. She also is going to give you free shipping. So that's a pretty big deal.
That's fantastic. She's so giving that one.
Yeah, she is. She is very giving, isn't she?
Yeah,
she
is. I love
very,
her,
very giving. I know. Yeah. And speaking of giving, too, now that Tony Foster is on the air, Tony's dressing me for the award ceremony. She sent me over some fabulous pieces of clothing to look at. And also this dress, so... She's really going out of her way, I have to say, to make me feel and look special for the award event in October. So I just want to tell Tony hugs and kisses and thank you, and I'm looking forward to getting those pieces and trying them on and just to look fabulous in them.
And that is the 24th of October?
Yeah. Isn't it? Like, I've got so many things. I think I've got about 7 or 10 things, it seems like, between September and October that's going on. But that one is, that's Cheryl Woods' event, and that is October the 20th. The 24th is that event. So, and also, Tam is going to be carrying shapewear beginning October the 15th, so we're excited about that for her as well. So speaking of shapewear, Michael, we had this whole conversation, you weren't with us that night, about shapewear, how important it is. So then Michael tells me that shapewear is not only important for women, but it's also important for men, and completely freaked me out. So we got into this conversation about men and shapewear. So, Michael, why don't you enlighten me on this subject?
Well, I will enlighten you on this only because it's when you really have to pull the girdle tight, when there's nothing that needs to be pointed to or say, oh, look at that. No. Anyways, it's called the site is called undergear.com, and the male version of this is called Body Shape Enhancers. It's not. I just coined it the man girdle because it's exactly what it is. It's a man girdle. It's the same thing with snaps and the front and everything. But and all it does is just basically, you know, do you right. It's a low scoop front, a low scoop back. So if you're wearing a T-shirt and stuff, you can, you know, fake people out. But the key thing is that when you take it off, everything returns to normal. So you know, I don't really know who you're fooling for the time being, but everything just seems.
And Michael, guess what? If you have a chance quickly to look inside the chat room, speaking of men's girdle, Tony Foster sells them.
She knew about them.
I know. Where in the world has the news lady been? I'm supposed to know most of everything. So Tony Foster actually sells them as well. That is too funny.
I don't know why.
Michael just put good girl Tony for selling them. I don't know why that's something that I just, it never dawned on me that men actually use those as well. Why? I have no idea. I'm not going to say what Tony, Michael, read what Tony just said in the chat room. We can't say it, but it is so funny. Tony, we won't say anything.
I have one of those, too. It's by Hanes.
That is too funny. I am cracking up about that comment.
A little bit of Lycra goes a long way on anybody's body, so that's all I'm saying.
That's all you have to say about that subject, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely funny.
Love the Lycra.
Let's see. So we're supposed to talk about that. We talked about the update of the hurricane. Oh, Michael, I know what it is. There was a couple of emails that I got, and these were people that said that you did a fabulous job for that to be your first time kind of doing breaking news in that sense, that you did wonderful. So what were your thoughts on, how was that for you last? Because that really was your first time experiencing something like that.
It really was, and I'll tell you honestly, I think the more you learn about something, sometimes it can actually backfire because but by watching the storm the whole day, I got more and more worked up by the time of the show because I was becoming very, very concerned for Linda. I love Linda a lot. I love Charlie, too, and everything. But it was just getting – when you have someone involved, it gets very overwhelming. So I was just more relaxed to talk to them and to find out that, hey, relax. We've been this before. Everything's good. And so it brought a lot of comfort to me, and I hope it did to the listeners. But it was so exciting and so absolutely – up to the minute, just working the brain, you know. I mean, I slept so good that night, last night, by the way. It was just, it took a lot out of me, but I love
yeah.
it. I think it's delicious.
Well, and that's one thing about news, which is the reason why I got into television news and becoming a news anchor and a reporter, is because when you talked about that feeling of up to the minute, it's a rush.
It is such a high adrenaline kick.
Yeah, it is. It's very much a high adrenaline, and it just kind of gets you going. And then what's interesting about it is that then once it's over, it's over. You know, it's kind of like, it's sort of like somebody deflating a balloon. Yeah, once it's done, then it's done. But, yeah, you really get that kind of rush. And it's the same way when we do, as television news anchors, when we do shows, you know, our evening newscasts, you know, when we sit down and then our studio guy is saying, giving us the countdown, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and that red light goes on, it's like you get this big rush. And then pretty much about 10 minutes into the show, the rush goes away. I mean, at that point, the only thing I'm thinking about is I'll be glad when this newscast is over because, one, either I have to go use the bathroom or my stomach is growling and I'm hungry and I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to have for dinner later on that evening. So.
Yeah. I was just thankful there was not a lot of damage. A lot of canopies tipped over and stuff, but nothing really good.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I also want to mention Tony Foster just put some information inside of our chat room. She's got a discount going on as well. Go ahead, Michael. You read it while I get a cough drop.
Yeah, Tony Foster just went ahead and posted that her discount is $200 or more for 40% off code. The off code is Summer Sand, SUMMERSEND, all one word. So, check out Tony. She's offering the big deals and everything. I wish she was on.
I know, that is a big deal. Tony, what's your, if you can, I know you can hear us because we're live, what's your website again? Is it, Michael, you remember what her website is? I've got to find it. I'll try to find it really quick and get it up there inside the show information. And you know what, Michael, something that I neglected to tell you and all of our listeners, which I completely forgot about it. You know, whenever you're typing information inside the chat room, when the show is over and you go back and you pull that show up again, all of that information even stays there.
Oh, really? You can read the chat?
I did not know that
because I wanted to read the chats on the show last night. Oh, that's good to know.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. So basically that entire conversation and exchange with inside the chat room always stays there. So whenever you go back to Blog Talk Radio, for example, if we pull up the show that Tony did with me, if I pull Tony's show up, then not only will we get a chance to listen to her, we'll also get a chance to see the entire chat room from start to finish.
Oh, that's fantastic to know. Why didn't I know that? I should have asked. Anyway, well, Tony went ahead and just put it up per website, too, and it's called www.critiquemystyleallonword.com. www.critiquemystyle.
Now you get your tongue tied. Let me try. Let me try it. www.critiquemystyle.com. So critiquemystyle.com. So just go and check out all of her fabulous clothes and stuff. And Tony, I know we can't say anything about it, but you've got an announcement, hopefully, that is going to be coming up in the next couple of weeks or so. So don't forget, I want you to come on At Home with Victoria and talk about it. So when you get ready that you can tell us more information about that, you just let me know, and we'll create a show just for you, Tony Foster, so that you can come on and talk about it. This is really big announcement, Michael.
Now you're just going to leave everybody hanging for a couple.
I know. I have to leave everybody hanging. So that means that that gives us something to look forward to.
Makes good radio.
Yes, exactly. It is very, 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 very good radio. So let me give Tam's. Wait. She just said inside her chat room that she's ready.
Breaking news.
Don't mention it now, Tony, inside the chat room. Actually, Tony, do you want us to mention it now, and then Michael and I book another show with you next week to follow up? Should we mention it now? We'll wait and see what she says.
Because
actually, it is considered the breaking news.
Well,
or you want to call in? We've got 13 minutes. Tony, why don't you call in? And go ahead, and we can talk about it live on air now for 13 minutes, and then we'll schedule you again to do another show. So what's our call-in number, Michael?
Our call-in number is 718-664-9364. Yes, I wish I had a teletype sound effect in the background that goosh, 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 you know how it
dun, dun, dun. I know. Actually, I think Tony says she doesn't want to call in. I guess that's a no. She says she's not going to call in right now. So, Michael, we'll have to schedule a show with her so that she can call in and talk about that, because it is really, really big news. So hugs and kisses to you, Tony Foster, because I happen to know what it is, but everybody else don't. But, Tony, we'll work on something for next week. We'll do like a quick 15 or 20-minute show with Michael and I so that you can discuss what that very, very good news is. But if you still wanted to call in, Tony, and just say hi, then, let's see if this is Tony right here. Somebody's on the line. Hi, Tony.
It's me.
Hey, Tony.
Hi, Michael.
Hey.
Hi, Sugar.
How you doing?
How you doing, baby?
I'm doing
We're
just
better
fine.
Now that you're with us.
Yeah, I think I'm ready. Yeah, I will be opening soon at the National Harbor.
Oh,
yay! The National Harbor is huge, Michael. Huge, huge, huge.
That is fantastic news. Congratulations, Tony.
Thank you so much. I'm nervous, excited, and all the
nervous,
feelings
happy,
at the same time.
Nervous, happy, scared, excited.
That's right. That's right. It's that bittersweet feeling, you know, the bitter being all the money that you're putting out.
Oh, I know.
Exactly. But Tony, you know what? And Michael, when you come down to D.C., we've got to show you that area and stuff. Let me just tell you about this area. Okay.
Cool.
So this place is just a freaking fabulous area. They've got, you know, these high upscale restaurants. They've got the Gaylord Hotel and Convention Center. It's right on the water. I mean, you know, to be able to have a place there, I mean, that is huge, because it's this really nice upscale area. And, you know, like, I went over there because Circus Relay was in town a couple of years ago, and I went over there to see the circus, and that was my first time kind of walking through the area. But just really, really nice. And mainly, and Tony, you will probably agree with me on this, they just got a lot of upscale places there.
It's just a fabulous place, and, you know, all glory to God. I mean, it's been a blessing to me to be able to have that opportunity. So when it knocked, I took it. But it's a fabulous place, and actually Soleil is actually starting again the 9th of this month over there.
Wow.
Oh, that's great.
They're also having the ice show in December. You know,
wow.
The ice show is this huge ice show where they have these huge ice sculptures of all kinds of things. Last year, the theme was like Washington, D.C., and they had the Capitol just, you know, sculptured, you know, with ice and everything. It's fantastic. You go into this huge igloo-type thing that is cold as hell. It's cold, excuse me. It's cold. It's very cold. They actually give you a parka to put on when you go in there if you're not really dressed for it. But that should be a fabulous show as well. But they have a few shows that's coming up within the next 3 months.
Wow,
well,
I see a lot of trips to DC in the future.
I'm sorry.
And you know what too, Tony? Something I think the type of clothing that you sell is very, very upscale, and I really believe the type of people that frequent that place, you know, you've got a lot of upscale people there, a lot of different conventions and businesses that are coming from out of town, so that's
exactly
a perfect place for you.
Exactly. I'm hoping it works out great. And the best part about it is guess who my neighbor is right next door?
Who?
Who?
House of Kaz.
Oh.
Are you serious?
Yes. He's right next door.
Fantastic.
He's like a really, really big shot designer and stylist.
Yeah. He's doing pretty well. He's I call him our next P Diddy.
Actually, he had an event, Michael and Tony, was it a month ago, and I wasn't able to make it over there.
I did make it. It was fabulous.
Was it? I knew it.
It was fabulous. It was hot. He had the fashion show outside. It was very hot, but it was well worth the wait and the sweat. It mm-hmm. was a fabulous show.
Wow.
Well, Michael and I are going to put our bids in right now. So basically, when you open up the boutique, anytime you decide to have a fashion show, since you made the announcement on At Home with Victoria and we got the exclusive, can we be in your fashion show, Tony?
You better believe it. I'm planning a grand opening that I hope will take place, if not on the 1st of October, somewhere around the first week of October.
Wow. Congratulations.
Michael, I guess you're going to have to
hop on. You threw me under the bus
the
there, didn't you, woman?
Yeah, it won't be as grand as House of Kaz, but we'll have some really nice things going on.
Well, Michael, even if you decide not to actually do fashion, hopefully, because Michael lives outside of Philadelphia, basically, you can still try to hop on the train and come down for the day just for the event.
Oh, yeah, that's only a couple hours.
Absolutely. And girl, I do fashion. Let's not pretend, okay? So we're fine.
Okay, great. Great. Sounds
well, Tony,
good.
I am just so happy and excited for you. And I still want you to come on again just to talk about it again because I want to promote it first. But I know next week I've got a couple of shows, so I think what Michael
right,
and I would do.
Right, I thought you lined up pretty good.
Yes, I am. I've been crazy booked. So Michael and I would do one of our shows that we have coming up. We'll get you again on the tail end of that so that we'll do 30 minutes with whoever, and then you can call in at the bottom of the hour. And,
okay,
and that way I can promote it more and let everybody, to listen that you've already made it, but you're going to make it again.
Terrific.
Cool beans.
I really
all right, Tony Foster, we love you so
Michael,
much.
You say cool beans. I say that too.
Oh, really? I say it all the time.
Uh-huh.
That's weird.
Cool beans,
great
right.
Mind,
cool beans,
great
baby.
Great minds think alike.
That's right.
Absolutely. Tony, nice chatting
nice
with you, honey,
you,
and congratulations,
you
too.
You too, guys. Thank you so much. Talk to you soon, Victoria.
Okay, thank you. Isn't that wonderful? You see the great things that happen on At Home with Victoria, Michael.
I'm telling you, the love just never stops.
I know. And again, Tony Foster's just, you know, it's one of those things where I'm allowed to have favorites. I think we all are allowed to have favorites, and she is one of my favorites. So she had mentioned that to me, Michael, that she was working on this and that she was crossing her fingers and hoping that it was going to take place. And she said in a private email, but you can't tell anybody. And I said, okay, I won't. So ever since she said that to me, I've been sort of thinking, oh, my goodness, when is it going to happen? When is it going to happen? So tonight was just perfect. That was just a great, perfect ending to our show tonight that she made the announcement.
Oh, that's great. You know, I spoke with Anthony today, your favorite designer, too, your other favorite designer.
Yeah, talk about him. He's got something coming up. We've got five more minutes. Focus on Anthony. He's got something coming up on HSN, right?
He's on HSN. You can go ahead and check my page for links. On Sunday, he's on at 4 a.m., 9 a.m., and 10 a.m., and on Monday, he's on. And double-check these times, but I'm pretty sure they're – I'm not even going to say the Monday times because I may screw them up. But he's launching his new fall line on HSN this weekend, Labor Day weekend. It is fantastic. You got to tune in. Some of the stuff he's done is really, really spectacular. So I'm looking very forward to seeing him. I haven't seen him since New York, and I've talked to him a couple times, but the man is just crazy busy. And he, too, has some exciting, exciting news to tell you. And I'm trying to get him on. We may have to go ahead and squeeze in a little show in between things or something like that.
Yeah,
but
actually,
very excited about it.
Actually, you know what I'm thinking. Why don't we try to do this? If Tony's still listening, why don't we try to do a show where we can have Anthony
super
on?
Super idea.
And then on the same show we can also have Tony on. So then we can kind of call it you know, fall or fashions or you know something. But the focus will be on fashion. So we can do one with both of them on the same day.
Right, absolutely. That's a great idea. Yeah, he leaves for London coming up, I believe, on Tuesday. So I'm going to try and get in touch with him before he does that. But great idea. He's got some really cool stuff.
Well,
check it out. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, see if he can, because I was going to say, it would probably be easier if he does it when he's done with London, because I'm pretty up until Monday. So check his schedule and see, you know, after he gets back from London around the time when he's scheduled to be over at HSN.
Absolutely. And he's tired, too. So I don't want to go ahead and poke the bear, you know, sometimes.
Right.
Like, look, I get it. You're tired. Just whenever
right.
you get a chance, give me a call. So I'm just going
to I like that when you said you don't want to go ahead and poke the bear.
Oh, no, because those creative types can get very, very owly after a while if they're tired.
Yes.
I ain't doing that.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Tony says something. Oh, Tony is congratulating
Anthony
by the chat room, and she says maybe I can go to London too. Absolutely, Tony, you can go to London. Tony, you can go and do anything that you want to do. That's because you're Tony Foster. But everyone, thank you so much for staying with us. We did an extended Michael 20 minutes. Can you believe it? You know what happens when Victoria
it never
and Michael
it never seems talks. Like 20 minutes. You know what I mean? It seems
I know,
like you know,
I know.
I know it's weird. Cool beans. But thanks a lot for
really,
having me
really
on again.
Good conversation. All right.
Absolutely.
I'll check you out on Facebook.
I love you, baby. Have a great night, everybody.
Bye-bye. And, again, that was my partner in crime, co-host Michael Kay. Michael has a lot of entertainment shows coming up. In fact, most of his entertainment shows are going to be every Thursday of the month. And he's pretty much booked, I think, up until December. So, Michael Kay, you are the best. Thank you for being a great co-host and for also producing the chat room. The lovely Tony Foster was on the line with us tonight. Make sure, everybody, you check out her website, www.critiquemystyle.com. And also don't forget Tony Foster has a special going on now, $200 or more. You're going to get 40% off, and the code is SUMMERSEND. Don't forget, Tam has a discount going on now. If you spend $100 or more, you get $25 off, also free shipping. And her code is FALL2010. FALL should be in all caps. So thank you so much for taking the time to join me on At Home with Victoria. I will be back again next week. God bless, and have a fantastic weekend, everyone.